Hey, welcome to another exciting edition of The Ed Show. It's Joey and Rick.
And it's episode number 21.
Blackjack, baby.
You got it.
Until it's
an ace and a king. We're leaving for Vegas in a couple of days, so we got blackjack on the mind.
Blackjack on the mind. But today
is an exciting day. It's announcement day.
Announcement day. We actually have the news on the day that the news was
came
announced.
Out. Yes, we were actually at the event live here in Microsoft at what's known as the Commons, just a little area that we have that's kind of cool. And they also streamed live online. It is the announcement of the new certification.
But it's not really new.
No. It's like a way back time machine, but still it's re-envisioned and reinvented.
What we're talking about is the MCSE, the new announcement of the MCSE and actually the MCSD as well.
Yep.
And the MCSA is coming back as well.
And the MCM.
That's right, which has been around, right?
Yes, that one there's...
Let's start first. Okay. Let's talk MCSE first.
Okay, so before anyone mentions it, it's not Microsoft Certified System, old name that we used to
not
use.
Not Certified Engineer anymore.
No.
Certified Systems Engineer.
It is a Microsoft Certified Solutions Expert.
Why on earth are we talking about solutions, Rick?
Well, because it's not so much just one particular piece of the puzzle anymore. It's now a broader picture that you have to worry about for certification, for career, and for advancement in the IT field. You can't be an expert just on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Microsoft's Microsoft Certified Solutions Expert is a solutions expert that talks about a plethora of different technologies.
What really drove this, folks, is we're starting to see a lot of trending in cloud computing,
yep.
in cloud technologies. And cloud technologies are not just one single piece of technology. You've got, you know, things when you're talking private cloud, you've got System Center in there, you've got virtualization. And inside of System Center, you know, number of products that encompass kind of a private cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the idea behind these new reinvented certifications.
Yeah, and I've already seen a lot of conversation on Twitter and on Facebook around the MCSE name coming back. Well, it's an industry standard as far as a very well-recognized brand, and so it makes total sense to be able to use the acronym MCSE over again, re-envisioned, rebranded, as a solutions expert. So, you know, I can dust off my MCSE from the olden days, that's still valid for specific products that have not aged out. Any existing certifications that I currently have, like my MCITP, is still valid for a particular solution set of a product as well. Those are still valid. But Microsoft Learning came out and announced the new line of where things are. Now, the target certification that people should be going for, the flagship, the hero, if you will,
right.
Out there is the MCSE or MCSD for from the development track.
Yep.
And then we have the MCSA, which is the, I'm going to forget this one, the associate, Microsoft yes. Certified Solutions Associate.
That's kind of like your beginning or entry level.
Just getting started,
yeah.
Figuring out where it is,
okay.
Figuring out where you have to go. And then targeting, is if you're looking from a career perspective, MCSE is the next level to go to as far as your career development and your solutions experience. And then potentially, as for a small number of them that are out there, the MCSEs can start to look at going towards your certified master.
Which is like, master. That is like uber,
yes.
like super smart, like I know
yeah.
far too much about these products, right? Have an in-depth and intimate knowledge about this stuff. So for more information, folks, there is central location that folks can go to get some of this new certification information, aka.ms/mscerts. And then, of course, you can break it out from there if you want specific knowledge around the MCSE and the new MCSE certification,
yep.
aka.ms/mscse.
MCSE makes it sense.
They've got these... new MCSE certifications around private cloud,
mm-hmm.
around SQL Server, and around database. That's what they currently have today. Of course, the important piece also to note, folks, those certifications that you have today, absolutely relevant. This is setting us up for the future, and this is really kind of setting folks up to be successful in the future. And, you know, really, I talk to a lot of IT managers and stuff. Certification absolutely is still very important in hiring decisions.
Yep.
There's a lot of roles out there today in the cloud world that are not being filled. And this is really kind of where Microsoft Learning has really stepped up and said, hey, look, we're going to get those jobs filled. We've got the back of the IT professional and the developer, and we're ready to actually go in and help you take the step.
The combination of certification as well as experience and as well as just general hands-on capabilities is the differentiator for when you're going for a job or looking for a career advancement. And so MCSC is a new way to go as far as your naming convention is concerned. Lots of letters after your name is also very, very good. I was looking back in a Wayback Time Machine, and that's my phone before we started to shoot. I was first certified in 311 and DOS 622 for support professionals. That one's not valid anymore, but at least I got the date stamp that has me at 94.
There will be a quiz on your DOS command prompt knowledge after the show.
Well, believe it or not, it is the defrag slash B switch, which does the reboot at the end of defrag on the DOS 622
It's
exam.
Knowledge that you never knew you wanted to know right here from the Ed Show.
You got it.
My understanding now, Rick, that's the news, right?
We've
talked about the certification announcements. There's some cool stuff, speaking of DOS and command prompts, right? Lead us right into the PowerShell discussion, right?
I love the PowerShell stuff. So actually, I sat down and talked with Mikey Mard, the program manager for PowerShell Web Gateway capabilities with Windows Server 8. And I sat down and talked with him, and we actually looked at the interface for being able to run PowerShell on a variety of different types of devices, not just IE and not just a PC. So that's what's coming up next.
Let's take a look at that video.
Awesome. Hey, welcome back. This is the Ed Show, and today I have Mike Imard from the product team talking about something very, very cool. We've got some neat looking device we're going to take a look at, but why don't you just give me a little bit of an introduction about yourself, how long you've been at Microsoft, and what you're going to be talking about today.
Sure. My name is Mike Imard, program manager over here at Microsoft, and I've been working on PowerShell Web Access for the last few years here, Windows Server 8. I'm real excited about it. The easiest way to describe it is just PowerShell Web Access as a PowerShell in a web browser.
So, quite literally, it is an environment where people that are using PowerShell inside their environment right now, this is a service that I'm assuming is part of Windows Server 8 currently.
Yes, that's right, yep.
And then you're able to stand this guy up and then have him with any device, any kind of browser, can go off and have a PowerShell experience to go off and manage their environment.
That's right.
So architecturally, how does this all fit in? How do we worry about security? How do we do the install? Is this a big, complicated thing to set up? Like, give me the dirt scoop.
It's very easy to set up. It's a new feature in Windows Server 8, so you've got to get yourself a Windows Server 8 box and install the PowerShell Web Access feature. From there, that server that you just set up is going to act as a gateway between customers on the internet, communicating through that gateway to different end nodes in your environment.
So this could be public-facing if you wanted to, for like a quick, easy way for doing remote access, management capabilities on your different systems if you needed to, or it could be internally focused, where I could just hit it with an internal website and then go off and manage my devices from anywhere.
If you could set it up internally, if you just wanted people on your CorpNet using it from Mac or something like that, you could set it up externally, and we have a lot of additional security features layered on top.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you're going to have your normal PowerShell remoting security features. On top of that, we have this PowerShell Web Access authorization rules. So you can say which users have access to which computers and which endpoints on those computers. So you can really lock it down. You could also add on IIS security add-ons like client certificates and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really make it real secure.
So you mentioned it's a gateway piece that you install. And then you configure it to talk to whichever nodes you needed to. And then you can restrict which nodes people can talk to based on who they're logged in as and that sort of stuff. Architecturally, it looks literally like this particular architectural diagram we have here. To me, the whole concept of coming across the broad internet to get access to it, it's a little bit scary as an IT guy.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about the security side of things for how you can restrict it and make it so that, you know, not every Joe Schmo can hit my website and then do some PowerShell commands.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. So first of all, we only work over HTTPS.
Okay.
So we don't even enable you to install it in HTTP just in case somebody would make a mistake. So you're in HTTPS, you get yourself a secure certificate. By default, nobody's going to have access. So you turn on your web server, there's no authorization rules set up, so nobody's going to have access to anything. You can get real fine-tuned about it and say, you know, user X has access to this only computer X and only on this particular PowerShell endpoint. Now, for different PowerShell endpoints, you can constrict those to only run particular PowerShell commands. So by the combination of those things, you can really lock it down, or you can create more general rules that say, everybody in my administrator group has access to all the machines, It's really flexible.
Okay, so it's good to know that secure by default, no one has access, and there's no devices that you have access to.
Right.
And you layer on your different levels of security to be able to control and constrict the access. So from an exciting perspective, this means that literally any browser, so I'm assuming this worked with Internet Explorer. That's
yes,
kind of a given,
yes. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now, does it only work with Internet Explorer, or is it open for anyone to use? What sort of compatibility do we have?
Well, we just use standard HTML and JavaScript. So as long as you have a browser that supports HTML and JavaScript and cookies, you should be fine. We've tested on several devices. They're all working great. Different devices on the PC, such as Chrome, Firefox, as well as IE.
Mm-hmm.
We got Safari on Mac. We have a whole bunch of devices here we're going to show you today. But it should work on any device that you have. We haven't had time to test every device in the market, but try it out on your favorite device and let us know what you think. We'd really appreciate it.
So the good thing is it is standards-based as far as the web environment is like with JavaScript and then working different browsers.
Yep.
Now, from an experience perspective, are you restricted from what you can do once you've initiated the connection? Like, am I literally open to any of the thousands and thousands of commandlets that are out there? There's basically no restriction on the ones that I can run?
It depends on the endpoint.
Okay.
So just like normal PowerShell remoting, you connect to a particular endpoint.
Good point, yes.
That endpoint could be locked down to only allow you access to some particular commandlets. But if the endpoint is set up to let you run anything, you can run anything.
Wow.
So this includes commandlets you write yourself. So if you write some scripts that you use frequently, those will be accessible by this as well.
Very cool, man. Well, I'm anxious to take a look at this. So you've got a couple of different devices here we're going to be taking a look at in just a moment. I see here I've got an Android-looking device from a small handheld perspective, a Windows Phone 7 device. I even see some fruit products over there.
Yeah, we have a few.
some Apple ones to take a look at as well. So why don't we go ahead and take a look at some of these guys in particular to see what the experience is like. I mean, the setup, as you mentioned, is pretty simple, simply adding the features in and then securing the system down. Is there any configuration required on the little mobile devices at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. There isn't. The setup is all on the server. All you have to do is point the web browsers on these devices to the right place, and you're good to go.
Very neat. So which one are we going to take a look at first?
Let's start off with the Windows Phone.
Windows Phone one.
All right, here I have a Windows Phone device. I'm looking at the login page for PowerShell Web Access. I've gone ahead and filled in some of these fields here, my username, password, and the computer that I want to connect to.
Okay.
There's some optional connection settings that I haven't filled in, but I just want to show those to you. So if the credentials for the computer that you're trying to connect to are actually different from the gateway, say it's like a workgroup machine or something, you could specify those credentials here.
Okay.
You can also specify connecting to a different endpoint other than the default PowerShell endpoint. And there any other connection that you option that you would use for PowerShell remoting is down here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to use any of those. I'll just collapse this and just sign in using the basics.
And that looks like a nice PowerShell blue window.
Yep. So we'll just scroll a little bit here.
There we go.
So, yep, standard PowerShell window. You can see we have submit cancel buttons here. We have tab complete button and history buttons. So we'll just do a simple command.
Oh, you're going old school. You're doing something different than the standard get dash command.
Yeah, I figured that.
Okay.
Oh. There we go.
Very nice.
All right, let's show the next device.
Sure. Okay, so what device are we looking at right now? What is this one?
So this is an Android device with just the standard built-in browser.
And the login page there, I see it has your credentials, but then it also has the machine you're going to be talking to as well.
That's right. Remember, PowerShell Web Access acts as a gateway between this web browser here and any machine in the corporate environment which you allowed users to connect to.
Oh, okay. And then go ahead and log in, and let's take a look and see what this command environment looks like.
Okay. So we have the console come up here.
Okay.
So it's pretty familiar PowerShell console here. I'm just going to...
Let's go with a very difficult demonstration. The standard demonstration I see all the time is get command. Show me what
all
that's
right,
going to
be like.
All right,
let's do a get command. So we'll just click in here and say get dash. And typing on these phones isn't always that fun, so we have a tab complete button up here.
Oh, nice.
Yep, so you're just going to hit the tab complete. And we'll see git command comes up. There's also history buttons. Since you don't have an up-down arrow on every phone, you can quickly get to those. So we'll just submit that command. And voila.
That's an awesome demo. Great. So from experience perspective, though, you're not just limited to doing individual commands. If you actually had pre-programmed scripts and that type of more complex things, obviously, provided you had the appropriate access rights, you could go off and run any of those PowerShell scripts.
That's right.
Good stuff.
That's right.
Well, let's take a look at another device.
All right. Okay. Here we have PowerShell Web Access running on an iPad.
One of those fancy larger screen devices.
Yes.
A bit easier to work on than a phone sometimes.
So I'm just going to do a little script rewrote that's going to demonstrate what progress looks like.
Okay, so this isn't just a standard command. This is an example of full-fledged scripting that can take place as well.
That's right, yep. So you see the progress bar with little graphics there.
Okay, so you're not just limited to commands. Scripts fully supported. Great interface from a size perspective for what it looks like. Very cool. What else you got with the device?
All right, let's move on. Okay, so here we are on a Mac and Safari browser. I'm just going to do a quick multi-line command here.
Okay, cool.
Just going to print out the date in a loop. A little bit. And execute. So that'll just continuously print out the date, and of course I can come in and cancel this command.
Very cool. So scripts on the fly, commands, and different browser experiences from all sorts of different devices.
Right. PowerShell from anywhere.
Awesome stuff. Well, looking at this experience on all those devices was very, very cool, man. I got to say, that is very, very neat. What sort of call to actions would you have for people that want to go off and try this out themselves after they've installed it and they're tried out inside their environment? How can they get information back to you?
Sure. Well, you can go contact us on the PowerShell Connect site. The address is up there on your screen. We'd really appreciate any feedback you have.
Great stuff, man. Mike, great talking with you.
All right, you too.
Have a great day.
All right, awesome. I love PowerShell. I love me being able to run some PowerShell on multiple
devices. You can never
get
enough of those commands, let me tell you.
No, you absolutely cannot. So folks, of course, as always, we're looking for your feedback. You're going to want to go ahead and tweet us at TNEdge. Check us out on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Make sure you like us. And comments.
Down below the post, right over there.
I see them.
You are able to go in and leave comments. You're welcome to comment about the show, about stuff you'd like to see, and also you can do the same thing via social media with Twitter and Facebook as well, because we look there for comments on what to do, what to shoot, and what you're interested in seeing.
Awesome.
But, we got Vegas coming up very soon for MMS.
For MMS, yeah. Make sure you stay tuned right here to the Edge Show. The Edge Show will be on site at the Microsoft Management Summit starting next week.
Yes, so soon.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got my hotel, I got my book, my car booked, I've also got my flight, so I'm all good.
You're all set.
All good.
That's it for episode number 21 of The Edge Show. Thanks for joining us, Rick. Thanks for being here.
Hey, and I'll see you actually next week at the TechEd North America Countdown Show, too.
Absolutely. Tech, NorthAmerica.mstechEd.com, check out the video. Shameless plug. Hi, everybody.
See ya.